Holiday hiring is ramping up. This week, Techonomics host Jason Middleton talks with a workplace expert about seasonal gigs, regular part-time gigs, and how the proposed tax reform could impact the gig economy.
Hello, and welcome to this week's show, and of course, thank you for listening. We are gigging it this week, four separate segments addressing four different angles of the gig economy. Stories range from high-end professionals to lower-skill needs gigs, as well as some gig examples. So if gigs are or will be your thing, please look for the other Techonomics podcasts for this week's show as well. Now we turn to seasonal hiring, regular gigging, and going from temp to perm. That's becoming more commonplace. If you have the right approach during your working interview, that is.
Really, about 20% of all seasonal hiring is now evolving into temp to perm, meaning they start at Thanksgiving or right before Christmas, and they keep them on after the first of the year.
We also chat with the founder of LaSalle Network about how taxes can impact your gig decision and how the new tax reform proposal could blow up some of those tax assumptions. That conversation starts now.
Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of LaSalle Network.
All right, Tom, thanks again for joining us. This week's show is dedicated to the gig economy, but we kind of want to look at Q4 hiring, if you will, the seasonal hiring trend. You guys have some new data. Can you give us a working definition of seasonal hiring, and then we'll talk about maybe some tips and some other use cases, please?
Absolutely, Jason. There's actually twofold on this. There's seasonal jobs and seasonal hiring. So seasonal jobs are the jobs may always exist, but you want to make more money over the holidays to pay for travel or Christmas presents or what have you. So you're going to get a job in Uber, a Lyft, something like that. Then there are corporations that are doing seasonal hiring. And that is they have a boost during the holiday season where they need extra people just from, you know, Thanksgiving through year end or through Christmas. And that could be something from working at Amazon in the warehouse and helping them get boxes out to working the retail floor at, you know, Kohl's or Nordstrom or Macy's.
So if you were gigging already, let's say you're an Uber driver sometimes, or maybe you're also with TaskRabbit sometimes, and we'll talk about other opportunities in a minute. This would be one that you could kind of pile on, right? But at the same time, they're not necessarily well-paid jobs.
Well, it's all relative. I mean, it comes from, you know, I like to say if you're making zero, anything is more. Right.
Good
so
point, yeah.
If you're looking to make some money, whether it's minimum wage, and that's depending on municipality versus federal minimum wage now, so it could be $10, $11, $12 an hour, or there's certain jobs that you go in and you help companies and maybe they'll pay $14, $15, $16 an hour. Are you really gonna get a seasonal job that's gonna pay $80,000 or $90,000 on an annual prorated basis? No, that's not really the case. It's gonna be hourly and it's gonna be most likely part time, but there is full time seasonal as well. So you can be making, you know, $600, $700, $800 a week.
And that's not bad money at all. It also gives you a kind of a firm schedule that you can work your other gigs around, probably.
Yeah, it really depends on what you're looking to take out of it. If you're going to be too picky, meaning I can only work certain shifts, I can't work a night, I can't work a weekend, you are going to be limited. So companies are hiring this on a short-term basis, and they need what they need. It's not like when you're going for a specific skill set, if you have a software package or a permanent position as a leader or a manager, where companies may be more flexible with you. For seasonal hiring, they want what they want, and it may be weekends, it may be evenings. So sometimes you have to work your other gigs around the more traditional corporate, even if it is seasonal.
Have you noticed, Tom, either you or at LaSalle Network, that there's some friction when onboarding seasonal hires? Since some companies probably don't do this all the time, and like by definition, it's a seasonal thing, so it only happens once a year. Any friction there that anybody should be worried about?
Well, it does exist, and some companies do it better than others. The fact is that you're bringing people in, whether you're bringing in one person or 100 people, there's people that are there full-time, all the time, 52 weeks a year, so to speak, and they're looking and saying, who are these people? Are they taking my job? Where does this fit in? And the new people coming in, they don't understand where they fit. So the best companies, they have onboarding processes. So your first day, they explain to you what your role is, how long you're going to be here, and make sure that there's clear communication, because whether you're coming directly through the company, whether you're going via a staffing firm, whether you brought in through a hiring manager and not even through HR, the best companies are going to explain to you where you fit in the equation. And corollary, they're also going to explain to the permanent staff that you're bringing these people in and why, and make sure that there's really some a little bit of camaraderie and understanding.
Okay, cool. I know that my wife went what they call temp to perm, temporary employment to permanent employment, but it was not a seasonal gig. Is that an option for seasonal jobs?
Absolutely. We're seeing more and more of that. Really, about 20% of all seasonal hiring is now evolving into temp to perm, meaning they start at Thanksgiving or right before Christmas, and they keep them on after the first of the year, whether they're doing returns, if it's retail environment, or they're just get a workflow order that comes in after the first of the year. And they now you already know the system, you know the culture, you understand what's going on. So it's really almost a working interview. If you're looking for something permanent, a lot of times getting your foot in the door during the holidays, even though the shifts may not be great, is an unbelievable opportunity to leverage it into something full-time.
Is there any space between the definition of a seasonal temp and a regular part-time worker? Is there different expectations from go?
I guess what I would tell you is that a lot of seasonal managers, if somebody's got an attitude problem, or not managers of seasonal people, if somebody's got an attitude problem or the work isn't perfect, a lot of times they'll just keep them because the expectations are lower because it's got a defined end period. Where if it's just traditional part-time job through the end of the year or through the year on a regular basis, managers are going to say, you know what, this isn't the expectation that I need and want to have. But on holidays, it's only for 4 weeks. They'll say, you know what, it's easier than retraining somebody, which is a shame, but the expectations are lower. So people may think, oh, I can just be this way and I'll get a job. No, you're the first one to go.
Tom, I want to pivot real quick to something that happened just recently in the news, and I don't want to blindside you at all. If you don't have it, we'll just drop it. The tax proposal coming out of the White House and from GOP, it kind of addresses the gig economy in a very specific way, in that workers are protected as independent contractors. They are allowed to work as much or as little. They're allowed to refuse work, and they're allowed to work for whoever they want to. Did you see anything in there with the gig economy or even anything overall in the tax proposal that would be worthy of this conversation?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be, Jason, a lot of different stuff that evolves from the tax proposal, because it's going to be how the Affordable Care Act is affected, what's deducted for what you can deduct as a 1099 independent contractor. Mm-hmm. If you're an independent contractor, how will that affect overtime rates? Are you eligible for time and a half over 40? Because traditionally 1099s are not. And then it's going to be the benefit situation. So can you claim unemployment if you're a 1099? No, you can't. However, what will happen in that situation if there aren't as many individual deductions for 1099s? So I think there's a lot of steps in this obstacle course that have to be laid out, and I don't think we've even seen the tip of the iceberg there.
I think that's a great analogy as an obstacle course, because I know it's politics and it's always an obstacle course, especially in the climate we've had for the last decade or so here in the country. But if people are going to be allowed to work where they want, when they want, and how long they want as a 1099, let's say, but then they repeal and replace Obamacare, or maybe just basically repeal Obamacare, then we have kind of a crisis of potential serfdom there. Are you worried about anything that may be in this bill if you're protecting your clients?
You know, you get back into the whole co-employment issue, and is the 1099 really independent? And that's where you get into the situation of them filing their own taxes. If the individual deductions change, one of the benefits of being a 1099 is that you're deducting part of your rent or your mortgage. You're deducting your cell phone, your automobile, right? There's certain aspects of being a 1099. And the other issue is that there's always been clear delineage of companies bringing in 1099s that they have a certain skill set that isn't that of somebody coming in as a full-time regular employee or part-time employee. It's a unique skill set, and that's why they're a 1099 independent contractor. So I really believe that there is a lot to do here. And this is the problem with politicians, is when they're trying to address labor issues and they aren't really familiar with what a gig economy, what a day laborer is, what an independent contractor is. They understand it from a dictionary definition, but from the practical use of the benefits and the negatives to it, I don't think there's some familiarity in D.C.
All right. You're an expert at your gig, Tom. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks a lot for your expertise.
Glad to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
That was Tom Gimbel. Tom is a labor market expert and founder and CEO of LaSalle Network. It's a national staffing and recruiting firm headquartered in Chicago with offices in San Francisco. Gimbel is a national expert on the topics of labor market trends and company culture, and he's a friend of the show. All the links you need to prepare for seasonal hiring or just gigs in general are at kgoradio.com/techonomics. Coming up after the break, we talk with a couple of people who have been gigging for a while, why they chose it, and how that worked out for them.
Some of the money was so easy. Some of these companies were literally just throwing money away for things that people on their staff could do easily.
We could just go out and drive around and have fun meeting people.
More gigging is after the break. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Hope you stick around.